诸佛之菩萨，善人，各位善知识，我是恒乃，明西比丘有一次在化缘后返回金色的路上，看见一处美丽舒适的芒果园，他认为是禅修的好地方，就请求佛陀答应他去那里禅修。佛陀要他过一阵子再说，因为佛陀明白光凭对一个地方的喜欢无助于他的禅修，但明西急躁难耐，一次又一次地恳求，最后佛陀只好答应他。
Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, Venerable Master, and all good wise advisors, Amitabha, this is Heng Nai. So, one time there was a bhikshu, Misi, after he finished receiving the alms, he was on his way back to the hermitage. He saw a really beautiful and comfortable mango grove, and he thought was a really good place to practice Chan. So he asked the Buddha for permission to practice Chan there. The Buddha said to wait for a while, because the Buddha understood that just because one likes a place doesn't mean that it's conducive to his practice in Chan. But Mingxi was very impatient, and he asked for permission again and again, and finally the Buddha said yes.
Mingxi 直到该芒果园去，并且坐在树下禅修。虽然整天禅修，但心意混乱，所以毫无进展。傍晚时分，他就回金色，向佛陀说他一直受到各式各样精神烦恼的干扰。佛陀告诫他，就是因为心容易受到刺激，而且易变，所以应随时随地以恰当的方法控制内心。明晰正念向前抵，思考佛陀的教诲或证得出果。
So then Mingxi went to the mango grove and started to practice Chan under the tree. Although he was practicing Chan all day, but his mind was very scattered and had made no progress. In the evening, he went back to the hermitage and reported to the Buddha that he was being disturbed in all kinds of ways.
有一次，六十位比丘分别从佛陀得到禅修观想的题目后，到一座山脚下的村落去禅修。村长的母亲马蒂加马塔供养他们所需的食物，并且为他们新建一座遮雨棚，方便他们在雨季时仍然可以停留在村落里。一天，他请求这些比丘指导他禅修观想，他们就教导他观想身体的32相，并从中去理解色身的无常变化和我执的虚幻。他非常努力地禅修观想，因此比这些比丘更早证得三果，并具有超凡的神通力量。
So one time, 60 bhikshus received the topic for the contemplation in practicing Chan. They went to the foot of the mountain. There was a village in the foot of the mountain. That's where they went to practice. So the leader of the village, the mother of the village leader, made offerings to what they need, including food, and build a place to shelter them from rain so that it would be convenient for them to still stay within the village during the raining season. One day, she requests the bhikshus to teach her how to practice contemplation in Chan. So they taught her to contemplate the 32 marks within her body And from that, from these aspects of contemplation, trying to understand the changes and impermanence of the form body and the illusion of self-attachment. She worked really hard in practicing Chan and the contemplation. As a result, she was enlightened and certified to the third stage of arhatship, and earlier than those bhikshus, and had extraordinary spiritual powers.
透过他的天眼通, 他明白这些比丘尚未正果, 也知道他们都有证得欧罗汉果的潜力, 但需要足够的食物, 因为脆弱的身体, 无法使心发挥最佳的功能, 所以他提供他们营养的食物, 由于有营养的食物和正精进, 他们因而正念具足, 而证得欧罗汉果。
So through her spiritual penetration of the heavenly eyes, she understood those bhikshus who have not certified to fruition and understand that they actually have the potential and propensity to realize the fruition of a four-stage arhat. But they need sufficient food because the fragile body would not be able to bring forth the best function of a physical body. Therefore, she offered them really nutritious food. Because of nutritious food and proper vigor, they were repleted with the proper mindfulness. Consequently, they certified to the fourth stage arhatship.
雨季结束后，他们就回去骑士及孤独园。佛陀当时正住席在那里，他们向佛陀报告说他们身体健康，而且环境良好，也不用担心食物不足的情形。他们也说，玛蒂加玛塔明白他们的信念，而提供非常营养的食物给他们。
After the raining season, they went back to the Jetta Grove and the Garden of Benefactors in the Solitary, where the Buddha dwelt at the time. They reported to the Buddha, saying that they're very healthy, and the environment that they stay was very wonderful, so they don't need to worry about not having enough food. They also said that Madhijama understand their thoughts, understand what they need, and also made offerings to them very nutritious food, which is very important and essential in maintaining a healthy physical body. And healthy physical body is a very important element in keeping mindfulness.
有一位比丘听他们说，骑马地加马塔的所作所为或 决定也要前去该村落，所以他在得到佛陀给予的禅修观想题目之后，就到该村落去。玛蒂加玛塔也供给他想要的一切东西。当他想要某些东西时，玛蒂加玛塔就亲身带这些东西前来给他。有一次，他用完食物后，请教 玛蒂加玛塔是否真正能够能洞察别人的信念，他不直接回答，却说能明白他人信念的人，其言行举止是如此如此的。这时候，这比丘想到，如果我像一般众生有不纯净的念头，而他也真的能洞悉他人信念的话，他一定会鄙视我的。 有了这种想法后，他对玛蒂加玛塔有种莫名的害怕，而决定回骑士及孤独园。他向佛陀报告说，因为害怕玛蒂加玛塔会侦测到他内心不纯净的念头， 所以无法继续停留在该村落。佛陀告诫他，只要专注在一件事上，那就是调伏内心。佛陀要他再回该村落去，但不可胡思乱想，只要专心禅修观想就好。这比丘再度回该村落去，马蒂加玛塔也一如供养前次比丘们一样地提供他食物，使他能够心无牵挂地禅修观想。所以在短短的十日后，他也涤清心念而证得阿罗汉果。
So, one bhikshu heard about Madhijamata's actions, he also decided to go to that village to practice. So after he received the permission and the topic of Chan contemplation, he went ahead to the village. Madhijamata also made offerings to him whatever he needed and wanted, and also as well as taking these items to him in person. One time, after he finished eating, he asked Madhijamata if she really could understand or know other people's thoughts. She didn't answer the question directly, but replied, those people who can understand other people's thoughts have such and such behaviors, and they talk this way. At this time, this bhikshu thought, If I have impure thoughts just like ordinary living beings, and then if she could really understand other people's thoughts, then she would certainly look down on me, she will slight me. After having this kind of thought, she had an unexplainable fear toward Madhijamata and decided to go back to the Jeddah Grove in the Garden of Benefactors in the Solitary. He went to report to the Buddha and said, because he was really afraid that Madhijamata could really understand and see the impure thoughts in his mind. As a result, he could not continue to stay in that village. So the Buddha exhorted him and said, as long as you focus your mind on one thing, then you are taming your mind inside. The Buddha asked him to return to that village without giving rise to any other discursive thoughts. Just focus your energy and practice Chan, and that is enough. So this bhikshu went back to that village, and Madhijamata, like before, made offerings to these bhikshus, whatever food they need, so that they can continue to contemplate and practice Chan without any worries. Consequently, within short amount of time, he could also purify his mind and realize arhatship, or attain certified to arhatship.
I was 大概是在1979年春天左右，我山里告诉我说，读《金刚经》有很多护法善神会时常保佑着你，你会比较平安。我想我时常运气不好，大概没有什么护法善神保佑着我吧。于是每逢初一十五，我就念《金刚经》，念到无我相、无众生相、无寿者相，我就没有办法再念了。于是等到我来万佛城常住的时候，我忘了是哪一年了，第一次听到上人录音带的《金刚经》解释时，听到割力王割解忍辱仙人的肢体时，我心想那种修行实在太难了，我放弃听讲《金刚经》。在1999年法界春季班，我选《金刚经》的背诵，我才知道有胎卵湿化四身，那真是太棒了。《金刚经》也有自然科学可以学。我在2004年到2006年陪母亲到三藩市住在马波瓦的房子时， 我把整部《金刚经》上人讲解的录音带从头至尾听过一遍，我才更清楚《金刚经》是在破我们的一切执着。现在有机缘在听《金刚经》，我想那是很好的，希望大家把握。
When I was a lay person, it was in spring 1979. My third auntie told me that if you can recite the Vajra Sutra, there will be a lot of wholesome spirits and Dhamma protectors protecting you, and you would feel more secure. I thought I was a very unlucky person. Perhaps I don't have any Dhamma protectors and wholesome spirits protecting me. As a result, on the first day and the 15th day of the lunar month, I would recite the Vajra Sutra. When I recited the passage of no appearance of self, no appearance of others, no appearance of living beings, no appearance of longevity, I couldn't continue to recite. Therefore, I waited until I came to the city of 10,000 Buddhas as a permanent resident. I forgot which year that was, but it was the first time I'd have listened to Venerable Master's tape on explaining the Vajra Sutra. And I heard him said that King Kalinka was dismembering the body part, the body of the patient immortal. And I thought in my mind, these kind of practice is just too difficult. I gave up on listening to the Vajra Sutra. In the spring 1999, I chose to memorize the Vajra Sutra for my DRBU class. I then realized that there are four kinds of living beings. They are born from the womb, the eggs, transformation, and moisture. And I thought it was really wonderful because within the Vajra Sutra, I can also learn natural science. From 2004 to 2006, I had accompanied my mother to live in a house located in Baowa, San Francisco. And I listened to the entire explanation of the Vajra Sutra from the beginning to the end. And then I had, understand it even more clearly that the principles in the Vajra Sutra are to break through all, are to help us break through all our attachments. Now that we have cause and conditions to listen to the commentaries of the Vajra Sutra again, I thought it was I think it's really good. I hope people will cherish the opportunities to listen.
When I was doing沙弥尼时，有位师兄跟我一起看管佛殿，然后完了我们在路上走的时候，他就看到陌生人。就问他们要不要出家。我心想，为什么这样子问呢？我已经给上人很多麻烦了，那他为什么看到陌生人就问人家要不要出家？我没有再问他是什么意思。然后我现在想起来，真的他是有心啊，他因为出家可以了生死，不要再受轮回，所以我也是错过很多机会，可以介绍佛法给众生，这是我应该好好的忏悔的。
So when I was a Shamini, I saw Venerable Master talking to a person and ask him. Asking this person who has left the home life with me in the same class, ask this person if you want to leave the home life. And I thought it was quite strange. She was new to this place. Why did Venerable Master ask a stranger if she wants to leave the home life or not? I thought. But then later I realized that this is also a way to cross over living beings. And I miss many opportunities to do that. And this is something I should repent.
然后 我们做招待的时候，我那时候也是做沙弥尼，然后上人就有一些早期的护法，他们上人就说，你们把钱藏到地下，我有办法把你挖出来。我还心想，什么上人是讲这种话？然后后来就很多很多尤其万佛宝忏的时候，就很多公斋啊，最平常也有普通斋啊、如意斋啊、吉祥斋啊，到那个上人的上堂斋啊。然后我那时候轮到我打下板，我只会打正板。师兄跟我说要打花板，打得很热闹，我就照着打大木鱼的流水板打。上人说法完后，很多师兄就在大殿当场就跟上人说，上人那时候还坐在我们这个讲法的法座上，上还没有下来，就对上人很大声的就对上人说，下板是乱打。上人说很好啊。我心想，为何上人会说很好呢？只有上人知道，我那时真的一点妄想都没有。所以佛教与他其他的宗教最不同的是，佛教是心教，世界上真的很苦，这个妄想没有了，那个妄想又浮出来了。佛陀是知道每位众生的根性心性，所以才讲经四十九年来对治我们的习气毛病。
So at the time, I was an usher for an event, and so Venerable Master at the time had some early Dharma protectors. So he said, regardless of where you hide your money, even if you hid it underneath the ground, I have a way to dig it out. And I thought, why did Venerable Master say this? Then, when the 10,000 Buddhas repentance comes, I realized what he meant. Because many people then start making meal offerings, vegetarian meals. There is the as-you-wish meal offering, there is the auspicious meal offering, there's even the ascending the whole offering. So, at the time, I was responsible to do the xiaban as one of the instruments. And my Dhamma brother told me that you should do the, instead of the regular beat, you should do the fancy beat. But then I only know how to do the regular beat. So then when I was doing the xiaban for the instrument, I actually followed the tempo, the beat for the whiffish. So then after Venerable Masters finished speaking the Dharma, many Dhamma brothers actually said something to Venerable Master while Venerable Master was still in the Dharma seat. They said that, oh, that was the xiaban, that was the instrument, and she just made a mess in doing that. Venerable Master said, well, that's fine. And I thought, why did he say it was very good, it was fine? Because Venerable Master was the only one who knew that at that time I had no false thought. So this is how Buddhism differs from other religions, because Buddhism is actually the teaching teaching of the mind. It's an ism that teaches the mind. This world is full of suffering. When we don't have this false thought, that false thought surfaced, and only the Buddha knows the propensity of all living beings and our nature. So that's why he spoke Dharma for 49 years to counteract our habits and problems.
What is Zhenhua? My grandfather, to go to the living, told me that his life is the most regretful thing is not to meet Zhenhua.我遇到仙公上人及研究经典后，才知道正法是守戒律，所以我们必定要把戒律研究清楚，然后以戒为师。出家以后，五下以前要专精戒律。我们能弘扬佛法，那是令正法久住。一年一度的万佛宝忏即将来临， 新老和尚是拜万佛宝忏，善人是秉承虚云老和尚的教法，所以我们能在万佛城拜万佛宝忏，真是百千万劫难遭遇。
So what is proper dharma? My grandfather, before he passed away, said to me, the biggest regret I have in my entire life is that I had not had a chance to encounter the proper dharma. After I met Venerable Master and studying, investigating the sutras, I then know that proper dharma means to adhere to the precepts. We must understand and investigate the precepts very clearly and take the precepts as our teacher. After we leave the home life for 5 years, we should study the precepts so that we can propagate the Buddha Dharma and cause the proper Dharma to eternally abide in the world. Our annual 10,000 Buddhas Joy Repentance is approaching, and Venerable Master Shi Yun bowed the 10,000 Buddha Repentance, and Venerable Master Hua, following Venerable Master Shi Yun's teaching, also bow to the 10,000 Buddha's repentance. So the fact that we can actually bow the 10,000 Buddha's repentance in the city of 10,000 Buddhas is really hard to encounter in the hundreds and millions of eons.
He Lin 法师是我做沙弥尼时，他是在5月22号91年啊，我们要受具足戒108天戒期以内，他往生的。他要往生以前，已把后事都交代好了，而且他的愿力是要回来帮助弘扬戒律。他是台湾的一位将军夫人，他来圣城是为沙弥尼。他住在戒坛楼下一间很大的房间，而且时常有很多人去探望他。后来我才知道他会医病。有一天上人上戒律课时告诉我们，有问题的人可以提出来。我马上问上人说，为何恒林法师可以住那么大的房间？上人答，里面有他的修行就不错了。后来有师兄告诉我，他跟广清老和尚修念佛法门已经30多年了。
So I want to talk about Dharma Master Heng Lin. She passed away on May 22nd, 1991. At the time we were going to be ordained with we were in the 108 days ordination period. Before she passed away, she has taken care of everything. Her vow was to come back to propagate the Vinaya. Before she left the home life, she was the wife of a general. When she came to the city of 10,000 Buddhas, she was a shamini. She was a novice nun. She lived downstairs in the precept hall, and she had quite a huge room. Many people went there to visit her. And it was not until later I found out that she actually can cure people's sickness. One day we had precept class, and Venerable Master said, if you have any questions, you can go ahead and ask. So I asked her right away. I said, why is that Dharma Master Heng Lin can live in such a huge room? Venerable Master said, now if you have her cultivation, and that'll be pretty good. So then later, Dharma Master, some other Dharma brothers told me that she actually had followed Venerable Master Guangqin in cultivation, in practicing the Buddha recitation Dharma method for more than 30 years.
她是打二七一个礼拜，就往生一个礼拜以后，听说是吃泡面，吃的很凶。然后就往生的，我是觉得他是一只石字，他要往生就可以这样怎么样子都可以往生，所以我也很惭愧，不知道他的境界，那也很荣幸上人可以告诉 告诉我们、就是要修到他的、他的程度、就可以、把后事都招待好。我们现在、心不能做主，所以我们也不没有那种境界，所以我觉得我要好好的忏悔。阿弥陀佛，祝大家、法喜充满，身体健康。阿弥陀佛。
Okay, sorry, I didn't write it down. I thought she had it on paper. Okay, so just to summarize that, this Dhamma master actually had taken the practice of fasting for 1 week, and she passed away after her fasting was because after she broke her fast, she was eating a lot of instant noodles, and because of eating too much instant noodles, that had resulted some problems in the body. She passed away. Although people say that she passed away because she had too much instant noodles, in my opinion, she already knew when she was going to pass away. That's why she arranged all these matters after her death. And we don't really know her state. And I feel that it's very honored that we're very honored that Venerable Master had taken her in. And we have a lot to learn from her. We don't know her state. And I think that however she wants to pass away, she can just pass away like that. This is something that, okay, and then I should also repent. I'm sorry, I forgot one sentence. I apologize. Okay, time is up. We'll end here tonight.